Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile finally come down to form one new man, one new humanity. Getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar, oh, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. Now, this week, I know you've been red hot for the Messiah because my guest is James Durham, and James has an assignment from God. He was caught up to the third heaven, and he does this almost every day, where he gets teaching and instructions, and his mandate is to teach you how to enter the third heaven, just as Paul did. And James, you've had visitations from angels. Tell me about one.
I was in Moravian Falls in a worship service, and someone was tickling my face. I had my eyes closed, and I was just kind of in my zone of worship. I thought it was very rude. So I finally opened my eyes to see who would be doing such a rude thing.
I don't know. I might have been so nice over that thing, but go ahead.
And when I opened my eyes, there was an angel face to face with me.
What did the angel look like?
Angel looked like fire. I could see clearly the features of the angel, but it was just glowing with an amber glow. I call them fiery angels.
Okay.
And the angel grabbed my shirt and pulled me nose to nose and gave me a command. The angel said very forcefully, "Wake up."
You just woke me up. I know that. I don't know about the audience. Okay.
Said, "Wake up your seer anointing now. There are things you need to see in the spiritual realm right now." And suddenly, I was seeing way beyond the place where I was located, and I was seeing spiritual warfare going on. And I experienced from that something very powerful, a revelation. The Lord was saying through that experience that we have the ability to wake up our own seer anointing.
How? How
well,
do we do it?
I think that we begin to speak it over ourselves. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet.
So you could speak it over our audience, me and the audience,
yes.
And that would wake it up?
And they need to speak it over themselves.
All right. I'll tell you what. You speak one sentence at a time. I'll repeat it. And when I repeat it, everyone listening to us repeats it. Let's try that.
Okay. Seer anointing, wake up.
Seer anointing. Wake up.
There are things you need to see in the spirit realm right now.
There's things you need to see in the spirit realm right now. So I command my spirit.
Wake up.
Wake up.
Wake up the seer anointing.
Wake up the seer anointing.
Let your spiritual eyes be open wide.
Let your spiritual eyes be open wide.
And your spiritual ears open wide.
And your spiritual ears open wide.
Now is the time.
Now is the time.
For a visitation.
For a visitation.
In the spirit realm.
In the spirit realm.
So wake up.
So wake up.
In the name of Yeshua.
In the name of Yeshua.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm expecting to see a lot more than I've been seeing, James, and I'm expecting to get reports from people that are listening that the seer anointing has been woken up inside of them. Now, you explained that there are certain blockages that limit people from having third heaven experiences. What did Yeshua teach you?
In repeatedly imparting third heaven visitation to groups of people and noticing that some received it and some did not, I asked the Lord when I was in heaven, why is that? And the Lord said that there are some things he just does not allow in heaven. And if you carry those things, then it's going to limit your ability to be with him in heaven. And you need to purge those things out. The number one thing was unforgiveness. You've got to get
now,
rid of
excuse
it.
Excuse me. Let me make sure I understand you right. Will this stop you from being in third heaven while you're alive? Or will it do that plus stop you from going to heaven after you die? Are you saying both?
And I'm not saying both.
Okay.
It may be true, but I'm just right now the Lord was saying about the visits right now.
Okay.
That you've got to get
well,
rid
by
of
by the
it.
Way, the Bible talks about unforgiveness. It
we're
says
not
if
forgiven.
You don't forgive others, you won't be forgiven.
Absolutely.
If you're not forgiven, you can't go to heaven. But that's another story. Go ahead.
And I've met so many people who are holding on to unforgiveness. It doesn't do them any good at all. People are sick. People are bound by that. People are open to demonic oppression because of that. And it's in their best interest and will open up the spirit realm to them if they can do that. I immediately made a list of everyone who could have ever possibly offended me, and I just decreed and declared verbally, I forgive, I forgive, I forgive. And it's not a feeling. It's a choice. And I chose it. And every
now,
time.
Why would you choose that if someone did just the most horrific thing to you when you were a young kid? Why would you choose that?
Because I want to release them and I want to be released myself. I want to be set free from that memory, that anything that comes with that, so that I can be free to move about the heavens.
Sounds good to me. What else did he tell you as far as blockages?
Bitterness. And there are so many bitter people out of disappointment and loss. They carry this bitterness around, and it's really like carrying poison in themselves. But God just does not allow bitterness in heaven. There won't be any there when we're there permanently, and God doesn't want you to bring any there now. So you need to just let him burn out every root of bitterness. Let the renewing of your mind come and burn away unforgiveness. Every root of bitterness needs to be gone in Jesus' name.
Did he show you any other things that are hindering the renewed mind, so to speak?
Yes, strife. There, people are in strife. There's so much strife in the church. There's a spirit of rebellion that seems to have been set loose in the church. And some people that I've met seem to thrive on creating strife. They just love to get an argument going between people. They get into arguments themselves.
Well, that's a religious spirit, the same thing that Yeshua dealt with.
Yes, and it needs to go. If you want to be a frequent visitor to the third heaven, you need to get rid of that.
So walking in the love realm, God kind of love, that's what you're describing to
yes.
me, James.
Yes, and eliminate everything that's a hindrance. Any doubt or unbelief in your mind? I went through a period after I had been going to the third heaven for maybe 2 months that I thought, well, this is probably over. And I started almost hearing a voice saying to me, well, it's over. This time is up. And I realized that was not the voice of the Lord. That was a counterfeit voice. And I realized that I had opened a door for unbelief in my own mind, in my own heart. And so I immediately broke that off. I immediately claimed my right for third heaven visitation based on Ephesians 2:6, Ephesians 2:18.
Now, you know what I'm reminded of? The scriptures say that unless two or more agree, it's not going to happen. So you either agree with the word of God, that's two, he's a person, Yeshua, or you agree with the word of the devil.
Yes.
And you have to determine who you're going to agree with. Well, what's the word of God say about third heaven visitations?
I hear the Lord saying he wants his people to come and visit. We're a part of his household. We're a part of the family. And he wants his family members to come. And he wants those who are moving in the Holy Spirit especially to come for specific directions and instructions to know what you need to do to accomplish your destiny in the kingdom of God.
Share a couple of scriptures that talk about third heaven visitations.
Well, I think the one you mentioned before about Paul saying he knew about a man who had been caught up into the third heaven. I believe Paul was that man, but he didn't want to say that directly. He spoke of someone else. And John, in the Revelation, he saw the door of heaven open. He heard the Lord say, come up here. And he was immediately caught up in the Spirit and visited in heaven with the Lord.
And I love the scripture that you, from Ephesians. Would you quote that again?
Ephesians 2:6 said, we were seated with him in heavenly places. And I believe that, and I speak to the Holy Spirit. I say, Holy Spirit, I claim this promise. Jesus promised, it's promised in the Word, and I claim that promise, and I ask you now to lift me up to the third heaven.
Now, oh, you know what we didn't get to, and our time has slipped away, and that is, what is the difference between the anointing and the glory?
Well, for me, the glory is the kabod. It's the heavy, weighty presence of God. And when that weighty presence comes, there's just an anointing that's in the air from God for healing, for restoration, for miracles to happen. I believe that there is then released through us an anointing to carry part of that glory and minister some of those things to people. But the real powerful experience of that is when the kabod, that heavy, weighty presence comes.
Well, I've noticed when that comes upon me, I guess I could fight it. I don't want to, but I almost bow down. That's what I do. I bow down when that heaviness comes. You'd think we would bow down whether we have heaviness or not, but it literally forces me to bow down.
Yes, it does.
Because it's weighty, as you said, but in that glory, it gets so easy.
It's so easy to receive a revelation. It's so easy for healing to occur. And I just see people who are getting inner healing, physical healing, emotional healing in the presence of that glory. God ministers to people. And it's more powerful than anything I can do. And when that comes, I just step aside and say, I'm here. If you need me, let me know.
Now, God taught you about the glory, seven levels of which God revealed himself through the glory, and then how each of us can move in seven levels, ascending to God for great intimacy with God. Now, tell me exactly, as far as third heaven, what did he commission you to do with people to have third heaven experiences?
Well, the Lord told me to pray over people, and if the group is present, I usually anoint them with oil, lay hands on them, and just decree that a renewed mind would come, everything that hinders would be broken off, that the flow of the Spirit would come strongly in them, and that they would release everything, every weight that hinders them, and allow the Lord to lift them up to the third heaven.
Let me tell you something. When he prays for the blockages to be gone in your life, when he prays for you to have access to third heaven, it's an impartation, and he does this on the 3-CD set we're making available, plus his two books, Beyond the Ancient Door and Seven Levels of Glory, available for a gift of $45. To place a credit card order for today's offer, call anytime at 1-800-447-2697. That's 1-800-447-2697. Or log on to our website at www.sidroth.org to hear this week's interview or watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural. Visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. Call 1-800-447-2697. Or log on to our website to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter or materials catalog. I really want to mentor you monthly to walk in the supernatural of God. Log into our website and get information on how you can join our mentoring clubs by becoming Mishpocha or Chalitzim. You can write me at Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278. That's Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278.